Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
We felt that it was a necessity for us to start this new year off with a bang and to start it right and to start it with something that Jesus commanded us to do, and that was to gather around the table of communion to remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So we have asked our young adult pastor, Dustin Obel, to come and lead us in communion. Can you give it up for Dustin Obel?
Good morning. Well, on the ski trip last week, it was a blast, except for the drive. Despite the drive, it was a blast. We had so much fun. And at one point on the ski trip, me and my wife, and we were taking Casey Foley, we're going to go up the mountain, up to the top of the mountain, and there was an odd number of us, and on this particular ski trip, or ski lift, you could only fit two people. And so I got the short straw. So I got the lift by myself, and I'm telling you, if you've been on a two-person lift by yourself, it's scary, because it kind of leans, and there wasn't a side over here. Yeah, it was a little scary, but on the way up the mountain, I began looking over the mountain and just looking at how beautiful it was. And in that moment, God just kind of showed up on that ski lift right there in the middle of Colorado. And I began to reflect over this past year and what it's brought, the trials, the triumphs, everything that this year brought. And I began thinking about, you know, for some of us, 2011 may have been a year that we just couldn't wait to be over. We couldn't wait for this day, this moment right now. For others, it was a fantastic year in 2011, and so we didn't want it to end. And for quite a few of our families, it was a year that you brought in a new life into this world. But as I was thinking over this past week, this past week is typically a moment where we send family home, we take down the Christmas decorations, and we're just ready for life to go back to normal. Anybody with me? No? But we're just ready to move on. And I started thinking, and when I was thinking about this, I started thinking about the wise men. You see, the wise men, in the story of the birth of Jesus, the wise men is probably the group of people that fascinate me the most. And I don't know why, but they do. It's because the wise men came most likely from the Orient and came all the way to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus and to bring Him gifts. But when it was all over, they knew that they were going to go home. They knew that they weren't going to see a heavenly host of angels again. They knew that the world around them was going on as normal, business as usual. And they knew that when they got home, that their lives were there waiting for them. Their jobs were waiting for them. But there was something different about them. You see, they had seen the birth of Jesus. They had witnessed something new. You see, the Bible records that they went home rejoicing. They went home rejoicing because they knew that there was a new beginning. They knew that this world would never be the same because a Savior had been born. And so I can't think of a better time than to celebrate new beginnings than a time like now. So as our ushers begin to come forward and our praise team leads us in a worship, song of worship, let's just take time to reflect and remember that moment on the cross.
Thank you.
Began pulling out the Christmas decorations. And my four-year-old daughter, Lainey, she decided that she wanted a part of this. She began getting into things, and Dana had to kind of give her direction, as any four-year-old constantly needs direction. But they hung the garland, and they took out the stockings and hung the stockings. And one of the last things that they pulled out of the little Tupperware container that holds all of our Christmas stuff was the nativity scene. And she opened the box, and she began handing the pieces one by one to my daughter, Lainey. And Lainey would put the pieces in place, and Dana would have to go back and put them in where they're supposed to go, in the right place. She got to the last piece, which was Jesus, baby Jesus in the manger, and handed it to Lainey and showed her where to put it, and she put it there. And Lainey stood up and took a few steps back to look at her handiwork, and she smiled, proud of herself. And then as quickly as that smile came to her face, she began to have a concerned look on her face. And Dana, seeing this, she stopped and said, "Hey, what's the matter?" Lainey looked up at her and just said, "Mommy, we're missing a piece." Dana looked at it and said, "No, it's all there. It's all there. It's good." Lainey looked up at her and said, "Mommy, no. Where's Jesus? Jesus is missing." Dana looked and walked over and said, "Look, Jesus is right here. It's baby Jesus in a manger." Lainey looked up at her mommy and said, "No. Mommy, Jesus isn't that small. He's bigger than that." And my wife began telling why we celebrate Christmas, and that it's about baby Jesus and celebrating his birth. But you know what? I think she had it right. I think Lainey had it right, because you know what? Jesus is bigger. He's bigger than everything. He's bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than anything that we walk through. And you know what? He's big enough to have died on a cross so that we can have a chance at a life with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this: "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Pastor Clint, would you come and would you pray over the bread?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken, that we might have healing in ours. We're so grateful and thankful that you went to the cross, that we might have life. And God, we do this in remembrance of you, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Verse 25 says this: "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Pastor Clint, would you pray?
Father, we are so grateful for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. God, in this blood, we do have protection. We have safety, God. We are so grateful that you poured it out for us individually, that your death gives us life. And we thank you for that, and we pray this in the mighty name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Dustin. Amazing. I don't think there's any better way to start the new year than with communion. There is just something about this table that puts us in a place like no other. It renews our salvation. It's why Jesus told us to do it over and over and over and over again until he comes back. This table will always be set here so that we can have the renewing of our faith. See, this new year is all about new, being renewed and getting out the old. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, says this in the verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." Look at your neighbor and say, "You are a creation." Not a creature, but a creation. "The old has gone. And in my Bible, it has a little exclamation point. It says, the new is here. Do you see how I raised my voice a little bit? The exclamation point. Because that's exciting. That right there is what this is all about. I was Googling top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2012. How many of you have hit yours so far? Have you hit a list? How many of you do that? Set goals and stuff like that. Great. Awesome. Next week, we're going to talk about setting goals. In Christ. How many of you used to, but you never went through with them, so you stopped? Okay. All right. I'm with. Whew. Number one was to lose weight. Number two, get organized. There's a thought. Number three, this is the good one. Spend less, save more. That was my wife. Four, enjoy life to the fullest. Five, stay fit and healthy. Six, learn something new. That's always cool. Seven, quit smoking. Yeah, that might be good. Eight, read more. Maybe this thing about new. Nine, fall in love. Me, husband and wives would like to fall in love with your spouse, that is. Let me clarify. That joke went over better in first service. Number 10, spend more time with family. Can I leave you with this thought this morning? Maybe our resolution just becomes a revelation of who Christ is. And in that, maybe we have some resolve to spend more time in His presence. In His presence, there's a fullness of joy. In His presence, there is an abundance. In His presence. His presence is not just here in this altar. It's in our car on the way to work. It's at our office. It's wherever we call upon His name, He is there. And so in 2012, as we embark on this new chapter of our lives, may He be the focus and the center of everything that we do. And may we have moments like we've had this morning in the altar that will propel us into His presence and that will sustain us through the struggles of life. This morning, it is our prayer that 2012 will be the most blessed year you and your family have ever had. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank You that in You all things are new. Today, renew the joy. Restore the joy of our salvation. God, give us the strength, the courage, and the power to throw off everything that hinders our life and the sin that entangles us. God, so that we might experience the new life You hold for us in this new year. God, today, give us hope, give us conviction, give us faith to walk this life. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong name of Christ, and everyone in the house prayed and said, a mighty amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. Have a great day.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. Or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.